You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. All right, so James Gunn is responsible for the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise and the show Peacemaker on HBO, which is fantastic, by the
Peacemaker,
way.
Peacemaker, but I hear
it's so good. John Cena is amazing in it.
What's it about?
He's a superhero, basically. But it's
a superhero show.
It is a superhero. Yeah, this is a superhero question.
Superhero-related question.
It is. He also is the new overseer of the entire DC universe and decided today that Wonder Woman 3 is now scrapped.
Yeah.
Black Adam 2, scrapped. It looks like a massive reboot is coming. Is this the right move for a DC universe, for the DC universe as it is, or is it... I don't remember what my question is. Is this the right move for a DC universe that is lacking, to say the least? There you go.
Okay, there you go.
All right, so... Are they going to... What about Batman?
I think they're going to reboot it whole
thing. No, Batman was fantastic. I love the latest Batman movie. I thought it was great.
But James Gunn is... Now it's going to be under James Gunn, and he's going to do it how he wants to do it. I don't know if everybody's getting rebooted, but they're scrapping a lot of
stuff. Well, hopefully not Batman, because I think Pattinson was great, and I love the dark... I mean, I thought they did a great job on Batman. The others, Wonder Woman... I don't really care about.
You don't like Gal Gadot?
Gal Gadot's great, but I totally get it if they recast it. I thought Wonder Woman 2 wasn't very good. I liked the first one, not the second one. Who was the other one?
Henry Cavill is not going to be the Superman again.
Yeah, I don't. I think the Superman movies, none of those have worked.
The Flash is gone. He had some issues.
He disappeared like that. I understand the rebooting of DC except for Batman, which I would keep the same.
Okay, I know this is a big question for you, Momo, but I can't talk about this stuff with Mace when John's here.
Correct.
So the truth is, I don't pay attention. I don't really know the difference between the DC and the Marvel. You could tell me those things, and I have a recognition, but I wouldn't be able to pick it out of a...
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You can't look at a Marvel movie.
I do have
like,
general 10,000-foot views on these things.
Okay.
Okay. Which is, when you flood the market with too many movies, even the good ones sometimes don't get seen. So everybody's raving about Andor.
Yeah,
Andor is supposedly really good.
Which is on Disney Plus. Yeah,
but people aren't watching
Star
it because... I know, but it's a larger point.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry.
Because there's so many things. This is like the third or fourth one. And so sometimes it's hard to stand out when you're the third or fourth one. And if there's too many Wonder Woman movies and everything's a sequel and everything is like just following... The good one, if it's first, will get watched. If the second one is not as good, won't get watched. It's like... I can't even tell you why I stop watching certain shows that I like. It's not because they're not good anymore. It's just I'm kind of done with it.
Well, I think, too, there's an overall arc in these movies, right? And I think it sounds like DC wants to start over. Marvel had that overall arc that led to Endgame, which was fantastic. And what was the one right before?
Infinity
where
everybody
War. Snapped? Yeah, that was Infinity War.
So good.
That was so great. Now, I think Marvel's got a little... glut of product now.
Well, there is. Like the phase four that they're in right now has been pretty bad, actually.
Black Panther's been fantastic. Wakanda Forever's great.
They're all good standalone movies, but the whole thing that was happening before, I mean, they're starting to...
Building to an arc.
Yeah. Yes, it was a 10-year arc to get to Endgame and Infinity War, like you were saying. So now I think they're trying to do it again with Kang the Conqueror as the new bad guy.
Just do less.
It's the only thing that's working.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the only thing that's making money. Like Black Adam. Black Adam did $100 million. Probably $500 million worldwide. Why would you not make a Black Adam 2 with The Rock? It was pretty good, too.
It's all up to James Gunn. James Gunn does not want to have that. He doesn't have the same vision as Zack Snyder
did. Kevin
Feige.
Feige of DC now. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So there's that one. Thanks for playing, Momo.
Okay.
Bobcat.
No, honestly.
Yeah, no, you did good.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely. So Antonio Banderas is now saying that Shrek is probably going to come back. He just did a Puss in Boots movie, and now Shrek could be coming next. The first three were absolutely great. Loved them all. Very funny.
Comedy.
Comedy. Would you be interested in a new Shrek movie?
Yeah, I thought Shrek was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good.
But see, I wanted to make that point about superhero movies. Why reboot stuff when we can recreate new ones? Like, I don't get that whole reboot, recreate, none of that.
Well, there are only so many DC and Marvel characters. So you'd have to invent new ones because they're all based on comics, right?
Leave Shrek alone. Just
you don't want,
alone.
A new
no,
Shrek?
I don't want a new Shrek?
Oh,
Shrek
is fine. I think as long
I'd watch
as
another Shrek.
As long as it's the same people. I mean, you've got kids. Yeah. The thing I loved about Shrek was I think it worked for grown-ups the same way it worked for kids. There was enough stuff in there that it was entertaining for a grown-up. The other thing I remember, this is so random, the other thing I remember about one of the Shrek movies was that I went to a screening, and do you remember the guy who finished second to Kelly Clarkson in season one of American Idol?
Justin
Guarini had gigantic hair.
Yeah.
I sat right behind him, and his
hair
was honestly
still
an obstruction.
Yeah. Thing.
Still a thing.
What do you think he's up to?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I always wonder who somebody is after they're it.
Yeah.
You know, like, where do you go from world famous on American Idol?
Yeah.
I don't know what happens to people like that. I don't know what happens.
Did they make even a lot of money in that moment?
Or were they
just famous?
I think they were just famous. I don't think Idol paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Bobcat.
What's up, fool?
Bobcat.
Wow.
Okay, so this is going to be weird.
Yes.
So if you guys go to my Twitter, there's a pin
mm-hmm.
from a dear friend of mine who passed away 2 years ago.
Ah.
I still have his phone number because I have, you know, messages from him and a couple videos and a couple, like, you know, audio notes from him. This morning I woke up and I had a missed call from that number.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So should I delete that number? Because it's his picture, the number, the
whole
thing.
Was there a message?
No. It's just a missed call.
No, it's like somebody else.
From that number. So I'm pretty sure somebody got the number because, you know, somebody got the number.
It wasn't, yeah.
It wasn't him, obviously. But is that weird? Should I delete that number? Should I save the videos and just get rid of like the?
That's a good question.
I think you could actually save the contact but delete the number out of there, so you could keep the videos in there. You don't have to delete the. You know what I mean? Like, you could go into edit contacts and just like delete the number.
I would
out
leave
of
it.
It
there.
Oh, that's smart.
There's something actually kind of reassuring about getting a call from the beyond.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I think it's kind of cool. I don't think I would delete it. I mean, I don't think they're necessarily going to call back.
No, yeah, I don't think so either.
But what are the odds that somebody knew, got that number, and then called randomly you?
Man, you just brought a new thought into my head.
Right. What are the odds that, okay, so.
It's very Ouija board.
Joe Blow gets the number, right? Joe Blow gets the number.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who Jorge is. Why would he call you?
And it's not like he got his phone.
Right, I know.
Did you hit call back?
No. It was a missed call. Like, I woke up and I looked at my phone and
that's
it was
weird.
Missed call. And it's from, like, my buddy. And
see, that's where I start to believe in signs. Maybe that's a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't delete the number.
Yeah, I wouldn't delete the number.
If it goes again, you need to answer it.
Actually, no, I kind of want you to call back.
No, I don't want to call back.
Wait, you wouldn't answer it?
I don't know.
I would answer it
you
for
would?
Sure. Yeah.
I would.
For sure.
I'd just be curious.
It would be really hard for me not to call the number back.
I don't know if I can answer, though.
Oh, that's so weird.
Do you want me to call him back?
No, that's so eerie.
That's so eerie.
We'll call him from the station.
No, I think there are signs.
You think so?
That might be a sign. Is there something related to this person going on right now? Is it like a birthday, an anniversary?
No, just, you know, it'll be 3 years next month. So
he passed.
So I had, speaking of signs.
Yes.
I was thinking about your Carlos Correa dream.
Yes, which isn't going to come true, thankfully.
Where's he going?
He's not going to the Dodgers.
Okay.
The Dodgers, there was a report,
I read it.
There was a report yesterday that
I had
the Dodgers.
Another thought on that.
Okay, what is it?
You ever hear of a trial balloon?
Yes. You think
in
that's
other words,
a trial balloon?
Maybe that's a thought. It's a thought in the Dodger front office, like, oh, we don't want to do this, and you know, our fans won't take kindly to that, and
so you think
that's something they're thinking about, and that's something that's in the air, yada yada, and maybe that story gets written, and then they listen, feel the response to that report, see if it's true.
So your theory is,
I don't know, it's just a thought.
It's a thought that the Dodgers could have floated the idea out there.
It was probably based off real conversations. I'm sure it's a thought they have.
Yeah, I don't think they do. I honestly think the fan base would not accept Carlos Correa.
Well, would they not accept him after they've missed on Xander Bogaerts and Trey Turner now?
I think they still would not accept him.
I don't know.
He's still Carlos Correa.
I think people might soften.
I don't.
Would you soften? Would you soften on it?
No.
I wouldn't either.
No, I'm not softening
at all. But I think certain people would. I think people, like, would you want Correa in a in a world where you could still have Trey Turner and Xander Bogaerts? Sure. No, we don't need Correa. But now that both those guys are off the board and one of them's playing for the Padres and one's playing for the team that actually went to the World Series
still
from the
no.
NL?
Still no.
Okay.
You know, to your point, Jorge, I keep the last voicemail I got from my father.
Yeah.
And I always have it. Here it is.
Where you press play.
Dad, how you doing, bud? Hey, I just wanted to call in Chuck. It's Pittsburgh for this week. Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'll let you go. I love you. Bye-bye.
He was talking about the survivor pool that we were in. He was taking the Steelers in the survivor pool, and that's why I got that message from him.
Did the Steelers win?
They lost.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they lost. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
But I always keep that voicemail. Sort of like you, Jorge. I keep that voicemail.
Yeah, me too.
And I always have it. That's the last I heard from my
pop.
You
absolutely should, and you should keep that forever.
Yes.
Make sure you don't, like, back it up. Do whatever you
got to
do.
I've got it backed up. Exactly.
Good, good.
Bobcat.
By the way, Carlos said that Justin is the Dr. Pepper guy.
Oh, really? Justin Guarini is the Dr. Pepper guy? Good for him.
He's like a little guy. I don't know.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. That's good.
So he's got something there. And let's do this one. Sorry. I have the wrong
Bobcat.
One. I have to Bobcat again.
Bobcat.
Wow.
Wow. This is not going well for me right now. All right. So I got another reboot coming in.
Yes.
Jackie Chan confirmed that he and Chris Tucker are in the works to start Rush Hour 4. The first three were really, really good from what I remember, but it has been a long time. Does this one appeal to you at all? Rush Hour 4, Chris Tucker, and Jackie Chan.
No.
No.
Really? No.
Why?
Yeah.
I think we're over-sequelizing the world. Like,
yeah.
Doesn't anybody have like a new idea, a new germ of, hey, I've got an idea for me. How about if this? How about if that? It's like, I think we're at a point where we've just got too many friggin' sequels, and they're random. You know, when was the last one?
The last Rush Hour 3 was...
It's got to be at least over a decade.
Oh, yeah,
2007?
Sure.
Why would you revive something that's over a decade old where a whole new generation of people don't know who Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker are?
I don't have an answer for
that. Yeah, I would say no on this one. I would say no on this one.
Momo, are you yes or no on this one?
I don't think I watched the first
one. See, I don't get it. You do want to reboot the...
Shrek.
...stuff, but you don't want to do another one?
Both funny.
I don't get it.
Say that again, Jorge?
You want to reboot superhero movies, but you don't want to do an extension to another
Correct.
Franchise.
That is exactly right.
Why?
Because when you reboot superhero movies, it's a whole new world. You're creating a whole new world. This is just going back to the well on the same old thing. You know, there has to be fresh stuff. There has to be new stuff.
And there also has to be, like, enough time that's passed. Like, okay, if you said to me, would you watch another Beverly Hills Cop? It's been enough time that's passed.
I think they're working on that,
That's enough time. But like Rush Hour 2, it hasn't been gone long enough for me to miss it.
Yeah, I would say no on that one. I would say, oh, look who I see, Anita Marks. Anita Marks is coming
in
here next.
Need to get some challah, some ceviche. We're eating good in the studio
today.
Yeah,
we're eating good here, Anita. Anita Marks is coming up next. We'll get all your gambling stuff for you. By the way, the Bet Against LA thing, appropriate tonight. The Rams are sending out a preseason squad to face the Raiders at SoFi Stadium tonight. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
PC, Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Casey Clemens.
There you go. Thank you. Roger's son.
Yep.
He was awesome. Ben Ruta, who former Yankee pitcher. So got to talk a lot of baseball, a lot of hot stove.
Nice.
Play
there's
some
a lot of
fantastic
that stuff.
Golf. And then went to dinner last night and heading to the game tonight. We'll be at the Rams game. you know, bet against L.A.
Bet against L.A. tonight. That's
which
for
L.A.
sure.
Team? Because it's going to be a Raider
one's,
home game.
One's in Vegas, one's in L.A. I don't accept them as an L.A. team. But but Anita, mm-hmm. yeah, tonight, so you're going to the game.
Yes.
You know, I'm a huge Rams fan, season ticket holder.
You don't say.
Are
you going to be there tonight?
I am not. Sold my tickets like all my Rams friends did.
Right.
Because, you know, frankly, why go through yeah. it if you're 3-9 and you're not even going to see the stars from the team?
You don't want to see Baker Mayfield. So, by the way, is Baker Mayfield going to play tonight? Like, what's the latest? Have you heard anything?
We hear a maybe. We hear a possibly, but
you
there's
don't
no
have
official
Sean
McVay's
word. Cell phone. You
don't,
you
I
don't
do
have,
not.
You don't have the inside skinny.
I don't think he'd tell us, right?
I think even if you had his phone and you bugged it, he wouldn't tell you.
Yeah, I don't think he would. I don't think he would. But
I think we're going to get a lot of. If Wolford is out, I think we're going to get a heavy dose of Perkins and maybe a sneak peek of maybe a series or two with Baker.
Yeah.
That's what I'm assuming.
That seems about right.
That's
and
what
you
I'm
know,
assuming
they're about. Literally treating the rest of the season like preseason.
Yeah, auditions for next year.
Right.
That's really what they're doing. So I, you know, bet against LA has been a successful strategy for you this year. How do you feel about tonight's game, Rams and Raiders?
Yeah, I love the Raiders. Yeah, no surprise.
Say that
there.
Again. Hold on. Let's make sure we get that drop clean.
I love the Raiders.
Okay, there you go.
Say it like you mean it. Yeah. There you go.
I love the Raiders.
Hey!
Yes. There you go. All right.
Hey!
For a number
welcome
of
aboard.
You know, their offense has been, believe it or not, their offense has been sick. They're scoring on 45% of their drives, third best in the NFL. They're averaging 6.5 yards per play, second best behind Kansas City. Derek Carr, multi-touchdown passes in 5 straight games. And here's something really interesting.
Okay.
Their special teams is pretty good. When they punt 50% of the time, the opponent starts either at the 20-yard line or
deeper.
Or deeper. So I think a really sneaky good prop play tonight is a safety, and you could get that at 9-1.
A safety.
Wow.
Wow, that's an interesting
bet. Because think about it, the Rams offense is going to be anemic,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Okay. So
new quarterback.
New
ish.
Right. I don't expect them to do much.
Yeah.
No.
And with special teams as well as their punting, Max Crosby is going to have an opportunity to possibly get a safety. So I think at 9-1, I'm playing it.
So if you were to bet this game straight, if I was to say,
I love the Raiders.
There you
is
go.
Betting a safety kind of like putting down something on 0 and 00 all the time when you do roulette? Just in case, or put it on the line?
That's a pretty good analogy.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that.
If I was to
and
say,
I love that you play. Let's go to come to Vegas with
just
me.
Roulette. Like I always like the one time you don't put that $5 chip on the
it
wheel,
lands on it
lands on a 0-0.
I know.
So if you were to bet this game straight up, 7 points. If
is
I
it,
make
is
you,
it
bet,
se- is it
it's seven.
Seven now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'd play it if you want to buy the hook down, just so you don't.
Ooh, that
risk.
Sounds like gambling jargon.
Yeah, that's what Nananita does.
Yeah. Buy the hook down.
Yeah.
What's that
so,
mean?
So this line, by the way, this line opened up at 6. It went up to 6.5. If you're telling me that it's now at 7,
yes.
Then you're worried about the backdoor cover, right?
Ah.
You're worried about the like
because it's a big number.
Well, it's, I mean,
big number at home.
It's a solid number. So what you're worried about is the Rams taking their pedal off the metal in the fourth quarter. Who knows? Sean McVay getting, you know, crazy and puts in Baker Mayfield and they cover, which means, you know, they only lose by 7.
Right.
And then now you lose. So you can buy it down to 6.5. What you're going to do is you're going to have to lay about $130 down to win $100, which to me I think is worth it, so you can avoid the backdoor cover if that's what you're worried about.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. Anita.
Oh,
Anita can show you the ropes. Anita's got
so
it going on.
I didn't know. You could do.
Couple of interesting games this week I'll throw at you.
Okay.
The Eagles are at the Meadowlands to face the New York Giants. A significant game. The Eagles I've got as 7-point favorites. What do you think? Does Philly continue to roll?
Fly Eagles, fly. Yeah, I do. And listen, it's hard for me to say because, as you know, I'm from the area. I worked for the Giants for about 7 years. I was part of their broadcast team. I'm a huge Daniel Jones fan. Here's the thing. Number one, they're one-dimensional. It's all about Saquon Barkley. Number two, they held Derrick Henry to 30 rushing yards last week. A lot of people weren't expecting that. Jordan Davis, who I felt was the best player coming out of this year's NFL draft, he made his return last week. And not that he played a lot, But just having him there and the guys that they have brought in, Sue, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The guys that they have brought in to clog up that middle of the line, because for a few weeks they were getting just killed in the rushing attack by their opponent. They finally got it right, and I think we're going to see more Jordan Davis this week, and I think the Giants are going to have a really hard time running the football against the
Are
Eagles.
The Eagles a clear Super Bowl favorite in the NFC?
Oh, I believe so.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest question mark coming in for them, they had so much depth, and the biggest question mark coming in was Jalen Hurts. Is he the real deal?
Yeah.
And every time you hear, you know, the folks who cover the Eagles talk about him, like, he comes to work with a briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
Like actually.
Oh, really?
He literally walks into the building with a briefcase. Like, it is all work and no, like, all
That's
work
great.
And no play for him. He is so focused. He's so determined. First one in, last one to leave. Like, everything I hear about him, it's kind of like Tom Brady, right? Like Tom Brady drafted in the sixth round of the NFL draft. What made Tom Brady so great? His work ethic,
yeah.
his commitment to excellence. And so that's what we're seeing here with Hurts in Philadelphia. So, yes.
So you mentioned Tom Brady, the Buccaneers, and somehow.
The 49ers.
Somehow they, Tampa's pulling. Yeah. I mean, Tom Brady is just doing
making chicken salad
the thing.
Out of chicken poop.
Yeah. At San Francisco with a rookie quarterback, Brock Purdy.
How about this? Here's an interesting little nugget for you. Brock Purdy is Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes.
So, do you know?
Last pick in the draft.
Got the parade. Ryan Succop was Mr.
Oh, yes, he was. I was actually at the Mr. Irrelevant thing the year it was Ryan Succop. Yeah, the kicker.
The kicker.
Was so, also Mr. Irrelevant.
So I think this is the first time in the history of the NFL where, like, you've got two Mr. Irrelevants that are relevant.
Yeah, right.
That are relevant in the matchup. I think that's kind of cool. Yeah, the 49ers defense is just so sick. And even with Tom Brady at the helm, the Bucs offense is just probably just as... Well, I wouldn't say as bad as the Rams, but pretty damn bad. I want to say their last 58 drives, they've only scored a touchdown 5 times.
Mm.
And we're talking about Tom Brady, right? Mm. So I like the under here. It's pretty low. I think last time I looked, it was 37 or 38. So I know it's low, but I would play
But you
it.
Still like the under.
I do. Okay. I do.
I don't think we've talked nearly enough about the Raiders.
Just moving on.
I love the Raiders.
Moving on. This is, by the way, Prime Video has really gotten... I mean, they're paying a lot of money, and they're getting terrible games on Thursday night, aren't they?
This one's all right.
No, this is not
Raider
a great
fans.
Game.
Yeah,
I'll say this: it's not just Prime. I feel like the prime time games have
been great.
Have been crap.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, lately they haven't been. They need to flex better.
I'm not like at times. I'm like, oh, you know what? I need to catch up.
But
on,
like,
on
if you were making a schedule at the beginning of the year, this Rams Raiders game on a Thursday night felt
Seemed
like a big
good.
Game.
Seemed good.
The Raiders had great expectations.
Nobody knew it was going to be
Raiders tonight.
Nobody knew it was going to be a 3-win team versus a 5-win team.
Hey!
You should. I mean, the NFL. Should,
we got five.
The NFL should allow whatever network has the evening game, like at least maybe like instead of 9 weeks, but 5 weeks into the season, be able to switch it out because it's prime time.
Yeah.
You know, you always want to save the best for last. They're paying prime money for it. No pun intended. I think always the evening game should be the best game for sure.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, Anita, thanks for coming in. It's great to see
Thank
you in
this
person.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now I can put a face to a voice, and it's always great.
Does
to
he
see
look
Ramona?
Like what you thought he did?
No, not at all.
What were you? Oh, that's actually what were you expecting?
I wasn't expecting anything, but I don't know.
You can joke with him.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Raiders. That's going to be a thing.
That's going to be a thing. Anita, it's great to see you. Thanks again for
Absolutely.
Coming in, and we'll talk to you next week as every Thursday at 2:15, and then Bet LA's on tomorrow night, right?
Yes, because, again, we have a Thursday night game, and also the Lakers are going to lose to the 76ers tomorrow.
Oh, jeez.
LA. You named it.
Yep. Bet against LA.
You named it.
I mean, you know, there's a nice way you could spin that.
Yeah.
Bet against LA, win money.
Sure. There you go. All right. Coming up next for you, Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto, joins us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let me tell you about my buddy, Jacob Imrani. So imagine you're in an Uber or you're in a Lyft and you're sitting in the back seat, driving to your destination, and bam, you're injured in a car accident. It's not just any car accident. An accident with an Uber or Lyft is completely different than a normal wreck. Your driver is covered by Uber or Lyft, so not only are you dealing with the other person's insurance company, you got to talk to the rideshare company insurance too. Let me put it this way. Things get very, very complicated quickly. You don't want to deal with this on your own. You need an expert, and my friend Jacob is the expert when it comes to handling Uber and Lyft cases. Years ago, Jacob and his team took on these cases before anybody else. He understands all the nuances involved in this kind of accident. So if you're injured in any kind of rideshare accident, immediately call Jacob. Remember, a lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He'll win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB, or remember,
accident
or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie,
call Jacob.
Call Jacob.com. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's the Christmas song. The one that puts Mariah Carey on the map every single year. Do you know that Mariah Carey makes $2.5 million every year off of this song? She's made $75 million lifetime.
That's amazing.
And counting.
Did she write it?
Have no clue. But she's making
Because she's not the only one who makes money then.
Oh, no. Somebody else is too.
Whoever wrote it, produced it, et cetera.
Exactly.
You know?
All right, change pace. Joining us right now is Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto. Matthew, what's going on, man?
Not much. Excited for week 14, you know? Not out here making money off of songs that I sing.
Yeah, no.
Years ago.
Exactly. We were just talking about you, but you do have a, we were talking about Marvel. You do have a huge Marvel connection, right?
I do. Yeah, of course. I have many. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you want me to get into it. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I have a cameo in Avengers Endgame.
Yes.
Joe Russo, the director of Avengers Endgame, is a close friend. Both the Russo brothers are, but Joe specifically. And I know, obviously, I played in the Fantasy League with a bunch of the guys that are in that movie. And so I know a lot of those guys. And yeah,
it's awesome. Awesome.
It's awesome.
All right. So I don't really have any questions about my team. I am 9-3 and rolling right now.
Wow. That's, you know what? It's because you have Jalen Hurts.
And no, I don't. I have Patrick Mahomes.
Oh.
Yeah. Who is no slouch. And last week, Matthew, I texted you actually on a Sunday asking whether I should play Tony Pollard or Zeke. And you gave me the right advice. You gave me Tony Pollard. I played him and I won my league. One for the week.
Well, which is fantastic. You said it was going into Sunday night. It was going to be a close one. The fact of the matter is I don't think I could have screwed that one up because Zeke also had a good game, but Pollard had the better game with the two touchdowns. I'm glad that one worked out. Yeah.
How do you know who to play? A lot of people have the handcuff, right? A lot of people have Zeke and Tony Pollard. How do you know which one to play every week? What are you looking at?
Well, for me, what I'm looking at with these two guys is that, I mean, Pollard's just getting more usage. In the three games in which Zeke has been healthy and active, the last three games, Tony Pollard's still averaging over 18 touches a game. So, I mean, like, they'll use Zeke when they get in close. I mean, they were blowing out the Colts. But the fact is that touchdowns are fluky. We all know this.
Yep.
Like, you just never know. You can look at red zone tendencies. You can look at goal line tendencies. But all the quarterback has to do is, it's called an audible, and then he's bootlegging it out, and all. Next thing you know, a backup tight end that no one has scored the touchdown, or there's a penalty, and you're back 15 yards, and the goal line back doesn't get it, and they've got to throw, et cetera, et cetera. But you can look at usage, and so Tony Pollard has been getting the majority of the usage. The other thing is just to the eye test, right? Tony Pollard looks like the better running back. He looks like the more explosive running back. And the concern on Pollard was, well, yeah, but he's a bit of a smaller guy, and we don't think he can run between the tackles the whole time. They don't want to wear him down. Well, first off, he's not that small. And the other thing is that, you know, the Cowboys, because of the Zeke injury, had to use him that way, and they realized, oh, actually, he can handle that kind of workload. He can go between the tackles. There's a lot that he can do. He's a special player, and, you know, the Cowboys have themselves a good one.
Hey, so I got a personal question.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I have been rolling in my league because Lamar Jackson has been awesome for me all year. Now he's
okay.
Out. What is there anyone, any quarterback out here that, like, take a flyer on that people aren't watching that might be available in a certain number of leagues?
I mean, sure. I mean, you know, I mean, it's been a little bit of an up and down year on for Lamar. So I'm glad that he's worked out for you and that you're crushing the two of you, you and Mace, both crushing your leagues. What I will tell you is that I will tell you, Jared Goff is out there in a decent amount of leagues.
Huh.
As of Tuesday, he was available in 50% of ESPN leagues. I'm not ESPN leagues. He may have around that, but Yahoo leagues, I should say. But either or. The fact is that Jared Goff is not 100% rostered, and so I really like him. I have
a good
play this week at home. Yeah, at home against Minnesota, that should be a huge shootout there. Mike White, I'm a believer in. I know people are concerned about the matchup with Buffalo. I'm not. He's had over 300 yards each of the last two games. Buffalo very quietly is a bottom five pass defense over the last month. Jets are basically a touchdown underdog, a little bit more on the road at Buffalo.
So
White should have to throw.
Yeah.
And, I also think Tyler Huntley, who's replacing Lamar Jackson, should be okay. He's had six games over the last 2 years where he's played more than 50% of the snaps, some starts, some where he's filled in for Lamar. In those six games, he's had over 15 fantasy points. He's averaging over 15 fantasy points. If you look at the game log, it's a little inconsistent. He has some big games and some little games. But what's encouraging here is the rushing has been consistent. He's averaging 54 rushing yards a game. He's had at least 40 in all six. Tough matchup on the road to Pittsburgh this week. But, you know, as a mid-tier QB2, I think Huntley will be okay.
All right, let's get to some questions off of Twitter. Shane wants to know, and there are multiple Cam Akers questions because he had two touchdowns last week. Cam Akers or Latavius Murray?
I'm going to go with Latavius Murray. And I'll just say this right now. I'm nervous about Cam Akers. I get it. He got the two touchdowns last week. He played 72% of the snaps. Looked like Cam Akers. My concern here is that prior to last week when he scored 19 fantasy points, he'd had a total of 16.9 points in six games combined. He'd played under 40% of the snaps in the six games combined. And it feels like with the Rams, every week you're like, okay, it's going to be Kieran Williams, and then the next week it's Cam Akers. Then you're like, okay, we're in on Cam, and then it's Daryl Henderson.
Right.
There seems to be no rhyme or reason, at least publicly, as to why running backs get what they get. Raiders, believe it or not, are a top 13 run defense over the last month. This game could get ugly quick, especially
if
Baker Mayfield has to start on 2 days' notice. Like, I just the whole offense makes me nervous, you know. So that's just generally my take. Akers could be great. He played a ton of – but just for whatever it's worth, we all think the guys in Vegas are pretty smart, and – they've set his rushing prop at 44.5 rushing yards.
Mm.
That's not a lot for Cam Akers. So now you're saying, well, does he get in the end zone? Maybe. But I don't know.
Adam Thielen or Latavius Murray in a PPR league?
Yeah, give me Adam Thielen going up against Detroit. Detroit's allowed over 80 receiving yards to multiple wide receivers in four different games this year. Obviously, you know, Jefferson's going to get his, but I do think Thielen has a nice game.
Alex Reyes wants to know, Derek Carr or Kyler Murray?
Ooh.
Kyler Murray.
Easy?
Yeah, I mean, I think
you
Carr
said,
because
I think
here,
tonight,
right?
I agree with you. I think tonight could get ugly. I mean, I think it's going to be a big night for Josh Jacobs tonight. Do you agree? Yeah.
Maybe. My only concern on Josh Jacobs is that I feel like it's easier to pass against the Rams than it is to run recently. Josh Jacobs had a lot of work last Sunday. It's a short week. It's a Thursday night game. They're on the road. He's not 100% healthy. He's been on the injury report now for a couple of weeks. So I think it could be, but if it gets out of hand, there's a defensive touchdown, Wolford or Baker or whoever has a turnover, the Raiders score. Like, it just, they might go to some Zamir White and Amir Abdullah if it gets ugly quick. I think, I will tell you, on my show today, I gave out, I like the over on Derek Carr at 249 passing yards. I like the over on 1.5 passing touchdowns for Derek Carr. So I know sports betting is not legal in California yet, but
we're still doing it.
Like, I think, of course. And I do think Carr has a, nice game here. Having said that, Kyler Murray, because of the rushing that Carr does not have, I'm going to go with Kyler Murray at home. I know they're playing the Patriots, but the Patriots defense has shown some leaks here recently. I think it's a close question, so I get it, but I'm going to go with the Kyler Murray.
Okay, how about Jerry Jeudy or Jacoby Myers? Justin Navarro wants to know.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers just went into the concussion protocol today, so I'm going to say Jerry Jeudy by default. Worth noting, the Chiefs give up the fourth most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers.
Okay, let's see. Hugo G, Tom Brady or Mike White?
Oh, man.
That's a weird question, right?
I'll just tell you, like, I have Tom Brady at 16 and Mike White at 18 this week. Like, it's basically a coin flip. I'm going to say Brady, but I'm not going to feel good about it.
Okay. Eric Flores wants to know, and he says, if I win, I make second place. Isaiah McKenzie or Cam Akers in a flex?
Here's what I would say. Cam Akers is the floor play. Isaiah McKenzie is the upside play. Cam Akers is likely going to get you at least, like, 8 points. So what I would say to him is, it depends what you need. If you're looking at the matchup and you're like, you know what, I got this. I just need to get like a lock-in, kind of a floor, solid 8 to 12 points, then that's the guy. If you're like, you know what, I'm down, I'm a big underdog here, I need to sort of swing for the fences, Isaiah McKenzie. Because Isaiah McKenzie could have 6 for 100 and a touchdown, or it could be like 2 for 14.
Okay, last one.
This is a wide range of outcomes for Isaiah McKenzie.
This is Wally Rodriguez, 12-team PPR, Patrick Mahomes or Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I don't think you can screw that one up. I have both his top five plays this week, but I have Mahomes slightly higher.
Okay, there you go. So Matthew Berry is everywhere now. He's officially everywhere. You can get him on Peacock every day. He's got the Daily Show. He's got the Sunday Morning Show on Peacock. He's got the podcast, which is available from NBC Sports Edge. Love-hate column is always on NBC Sports Edge. Sunday Night Football, of course, and the Fantasy Life app. Did I miss anything this time?
Just the newsletter at fantasylife.com, baby.
All right, awesome.
That's a lot, man.
Yeah, you're busy. You are busy.
I'm busy.
How do you keep it all straight? Do you have, like, vision boards and stuff?
I have people that help, and I'll sleep after the Super Bowl.
Awesome.
There you go.
All right, Matthew, thanks. Thanks a lot, as always, for coming on. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Love you guys. Good luck in week 14. We'll see you next week.
All right, cool. There you go. There is Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Runner.
You know what's amazing? Like, when you listen to somebody who's good like that, like, you could just say this or that, and he knows exactly who that team is playing and exactly who that player is playing. There's no advance prep. Knows.
No, I mean, he's like that. Anita's like that, too, with the gambling. Matthew's like that with the fantasy football.
Yeah, you know, the Bills quietly have the fifth worst defense, run defense over the last month.
Like, right off the top
of
his head.
Right off the top of his head like that.
All right, coming up next for you, you wanted to talk a little something
let's do a little story workshop here.
Okay.
A little LeBron James story workshop.
Okay, LeBron James story workshop.
I need your thoughts.
And then we've got Game of Games after that. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Three most exciting words in Los Angeles tomorrow. Mason and Cappy.
Whoa!
Yeah! Me and Cappy tomorrow. We are live from Black Gold for our ESPN LA and Subaru Long Drive-a-thon event. Live drawing.
Yep.
Can we do a whole take two? Are we recording or is this live?
Play the open again.
Okay, there you go.
This is Matthew Stafford of your Los Angeles Rams. This is Mason in Ireland on your home of Rams football, 710 ESPN.
So tomorrow, me and Cappy doing the show live from 1 to 3 at Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda, ESPN LA, and Subaru, partnering with the Folds of Honor Foundation for our inaugural long drive-a-thon event. Proceeds raised will provide scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. You can come on out and hang with us tomorrow, right? That's live and open to the public, right?
No.
Oh, it's
so
not.
You had to get actually buy a green
tea. You'll have to listen to it then.
Yes, it'll be fun to listen to. And by the way, I sent a text to Cappy today because I was like excited about it. It's going to be you and Cappy for the first time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I said, hey, my man, looking forward to the show tomorrow. Going to be fun with you and Mace. He responds, yes.
That's it.
That's it.
Hey, you know what? At least he responded.
He did respond.
I was texting you, Jorge, and Mace, like updated photos of me braiding the challah last night.
Girl, I was busy cooking too.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, I was also super busy last night.
You were super busy with green buttons.
I was like, everybody excited for my challah? No, just Greg.
The challah is delicious. The challah is delicious. Okay, now walk me through this. We've got Game of Games coming up for you in about 10 minutes. Walk us through this story workshop with LeBron.
Okay, so LeBron's gonna probably break Kareem's record this year.
Yes.
And, you know, we in the content business are trying to come up with ways to write about that. And what do people want to read about that? What's the stories in and around that? So we were having some brainstorming sessions and all that. What do people care? Like, is this a record that you want to, like, you, Steve Mason, would you read one of my long Seth Wickersham length stories?
Huh, that's a good question.
Like a 3,000, 4,000 word story. Like if I really dive in there.
Let me tell you something.
And how do we put into perspective what he's trying to accomplish in this?
So I'm a short attention span theater guy. So it's rare that I read a 3,000 or 4,000 word story
on anything.
Any subject.
Yeah.
On any subject.
Look, I was super into the Andrew Luck story. Didn't finish. It was super long.
It was long.
And I was really into it.
I started. I like it at the beginning when they summarize it.
Yeah.
And then you kind of know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds very tortured.
Yeah.
It was an interesting story. Now, here's the thing about LeBron. I think what he is doing is extraordinary.
Yeah.
I think that he is, for me, either the first or the second greatest player in the history of the league. I think passing Kareem is really significant. I mean, even tying Magic and surpassing Magic in assists.
That was big.
Was a big deal this last week. I think the thing that will give it a ring is if the Lakers are competitive at that point. And right now they look like they are.
Ish.
Obviously, throw last night out. LeBron and A didn't play and all that. But for me, LeBron passing that record is significant.
Okay,
you're getting the feeling that it's not
a
deal?
I'm just reading it myself. So on the one hand, when I think of LeBron James, I don't think of him as a scorer. And yet he is going to have the all-time scoring record.
Right.
LeBron James, to me, is a lot more than a scorer. He is one of the most complete basketball players we've ever seen. He plays a lot more like Magic than he does like Kareem.
Yeah, he's a playmaker.
I wouldn't even think of Kareem as a scorer, to be honest. Like, Kareem changed the game with how he played, but he was great defensively. He was sort of an icon off the court. They happen to be the best, have the highest scoring totals because they were great at scoring as well, and because they played for 20 years because of their longevity.
Longevity.
And there's actually a lot of similarities. LeBron takes care of his body, played really well into his late 30s. He's going to be 38 in a couple weeks.
Yep.
December 30th. Kareem played into his 40s, did yoga. He was like kind of early on in the
martial arts,
all that stuff. But I don't know if it's like, how big a deal is LeBron breaking Kareem's record? I don't know how big a deal it is yet.
One of the things I admire, and I think it's very underrated, is longevity.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to, when I went to Lindsay.
Says somebody who has had a lot of longevity.
Correct. When I went to Lindsay Thury's wedding last year, I had a conversation with Bill Plachke.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bill said to me, you know, it's pretty amazing that we're still here and we're still doing what we're doing. Longevity is a hard thing to accomplish. And to me, the fact that you've played 20 years in the league is significant. The fact that you are able to compete with guys in their 20s. And I mean, it's amazing. I think this is a great story. I'm a huge LeBron fan.
Yeah.
I've become a huge LeBron fan. Part of it is that he was from Ohio. My mom followed LeBron when he was in Ohio.
Okay.
And then she moved to L.A. Then LeBron moved to L.A. So there's some synchronicity there. For me, it's a really big story. Do you not sense that it's going to be a big deal?
It is. I just think in our modern, you know, attention deficit world, okay, quick attention span, whatever, longevity is something that we don't value. It's like, what's new, what's next? It's did this, like, I wrote a story on Klay Thompson the other day. It was good. It was a good story.
Right.
But it probably should have been done last year during the finals. That was really when his comeback was more relevant. The Warriors were in the finals. People would have read the heck out of that story then.
Sure.
They read it. They read it now, but it wasn't as in the moment, because at the time I dropped it, he was like in the middle of a slump, kind of. He ended up having some good games afterwards. It's not like I caused it.
Yeah,
I know.
Right.
But it's that zeitgeist. It's that, are you in the cultural zeitgeist? Are you on the tip of people's tongues? Are you what people are talking about right now or tweeting about? And in a way, LeBron's longevity has sort of hurt him, because
we take for granted the amazingness.
The guy is almost 38 years old.
Yeah.
And he's still top, I think, 15 in scoring. He had almost 20 rebounds the other night. He's still really good. Now, we're not seeing the best of LeBron. The best of LeBron was probably during the Heat years or early to mid second run with the Cavs.
He probably had the longest peak of anybody I can think of.
And the least precipitous fall.
Yeah.
Like, he really hasn't completely fallen off
yet. He's slightly over the mountain.
Yeah, he's over the mountain, but not down in the valley yet.
Not at all.
And it's really remarkable, and I'm trying to get out of my own head of like, oh, it's, you know, talking about a team that's going to be middle of the pack, probably. Maybe they'll get some. But it shouldn't just be about whether the Lakers are in contention or not.
But the
it
fact that they are will make the story sell better.
So now there's a part of me that says, well, what's the hook? What's the angle? You got to have an angle.
Right.
In a way, isn't the angle just that LeBron is great, is one of the greatest players at the skills that lead to winning? And yet now he's going to be celebrated for an individual record?
That's interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
So you're saying,
like, his skills are elevating his teammates. His skills are, you know, the way he plays like magic. He elevates every single guy on the team. And yet this is going to be a single, sort of a selfish record in a way. Scoring is sort of a...
I don't think it's a selfish record. It just, he couldn't help to pass it. He had to pass it because he's played so long.
Yeah.
That's why I think the key to the story is the longevity and the fact that longevity is very underrated and underappreciated. You know, I always think, for example, this is totally random.
That's a good point about longevity. It's not just about physical longevity. It's about withstanding everything he's had to withstand.
Yes.
He is the first superstar of the social media era.
Yes.
There are other superstars who like Kobe was around when the
social media
came. I thought
Kobe used
social
media really well.
But that was the second half of his career.
Yeah.
There wasn't really social media at the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
LeBron is the first superstar whose entire career spanned that social media era.
And normally when you would get savaged. Well, he has gotten savaged.
He's gotten up and down and up and down to the point where we joke about the speaking LeBron and the subtweeting and the
I mean,
that's a lot to live
on
through.
On top of that, he's living a life beyond basketball too. I mean, you look at what was I watching? I watched that movie Hustle, the Adam Sandler
movie.
Yeah,
that was good.
Produced by LeBron and Maverick Carter.
Yeah.
Great, great movie. I mean, he's got this entertainment arm. He's got the agency arm. Like, I don't know, is there very few people set themselves up for a post-basketball career as well as LeBron has done for himself?
Because I think about people's peak all the time.
Yeah.
Of like, what was the peak of your career? You probably have a couple answers. You probably had several peaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the rise. You're on the rise, right? And it doesn't mean that you have fallen off or anything. It's just sometimes you're in the spotlight and sometimes you're not.
Right.
And the key is to keep going.
Yes.
When you're in the spotlight and when you're not in the spotlight. It's easy to be good when people are watching.
Right.
It's hard to stay there. Like, you were talking about Bill Plaschke.
Yeah.
I grew up reading Bill Plaschke every single day.
Well, I know. I guess not me too.
Didn't grow up. But you've read him. And I'll be honest, I don't read the paper as much. It's not like I don't pick up the newspaper every morning like I used to when I was in high school or when I was in college, whatever. Even after I moved home after college. But I still read Bill all the time. Maybe not every column he writes.
Yeah.
But enough. Probably 60-70% reading percentage.
Sure.
That's incredible. For as long as somebody's been writing, to keep my attention that long.
This is a town that actually values longevity.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about
people pay good money for some longevity.
Well, you think about, I mean, Vin Scully and Chick Hearn and Jaime Hirin.
Oh, I was going plastic surgery there, but okay.
Oh,
yeah.
No. I'm talking about people who've had
long careers. You're right.
Long and successful careers. Now, the catch with LeBron is he didn't have it all here.
Right. His best years were in Cleveland and in Miami.
In Miami, yeah.
He had one good year here.
Oh, he had one great year here. By the way, he's been great the whole time. He's still great. Yeah. He's still great.
This is a good story workshop. Thank you for this.
Absolutely.
It's helping me out.
I look forward to reading the first 1,000 words of your piece.
I'll tell you which ones to read.
Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, point it out.
That was good.
Yeah. Thanks. Excellent. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is Jorge's game today, and Tyler is going to play,
I think he's going to be good.
What's Tyler's official job? He's a producer.
You know, I just put him in my phone. I didn't have his number before. He's in my phone as Tyler Radio Producer.
One of the 10,000 people you know, apparently.
No, I actually looked. Look, I went into my contact list. Somebody showed me how to do it.
Yep.
If you go down to the bottom of your contacts,
okay,
it'll tell you how many you have. I want you to guess how many I have.
But contacts doesn't mean you know them.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you know them, but okay. I'll play along. I'll play
you
your reindeer games.
9,243.
No.
You have 14,000.
No, less. Way less.
2,749.
Closer. 3,288.
I've got 2,341.
Okay.
I have 1,693.
Yeah.
So
but that doesn't mean we know 1,600 people.
Let's see if we scroll through how many we don't know.
We got to.
Well, you do that. We're going to get
back. Okay, I'm saying like probably like one out of 15
exactly.
of these people.
Tyler's going to play. We'll do that coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Game of Games time, and it is Jorge's game today.
Yes.
It's me, Momo, Bergman, and Tyler, who's one of our producers here. Tyler will be producing tonight's Rams-Raiders game. Are you excited?
Oh, I'm ecstatic about it.
Yeah. This
Come
is
on,
the
man.
One we've been waiting for
I couldn't be
all
more thrilled.
Year long.
Can't wait.
Yeah. All right. So hurry, tee us up. What's the game about?
Okay, so I just came up with it because Carla helped me. I was making the ceviche yesterday. So
okay, got it. Yeah,
so that ceviche is fantastic. On point.
Thank you.
Ceviche, I've had like three bowls.
Yeah. Oof, yeah,
I
mean, so
I have like six.
So good.
Honestly, I could just diet just eating that.
Oh, man, I can eat that all day, every day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super
really good.
The challah's pretty good, too. The
challah is excellent.
Yeah.
All right, so Christmas. I'm thinking Christmas.
Okay.
So we took different Chris's since they share this, you know, Chris, Christmas.
Right.
So name that Chris. That's what the game is.
Name that Chris.
Yeah. Name is your buzzer.
Name is your buzzer.
Name is your buzzer.
Name is your buzzer.
All right.
And here's the first one. This guy is famous for playing Thor.
Mason. Craig.
Mason.
What's his name? Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Good, Mace.
Who's keeping score, by the way?
I am.
Yeah, it's always so competitive. I'm almost like, good job, Mace.
I like when Momo stands up too, like, oh
yeah, when she's serious about it.
Yeah,
got serious.
Come on, Momo.
All right, let's go.
You want to win?
Let's go.
This guy's an outfielder for the Dodgers.
Momo.
Oh, great.
I made the holla.
Chris Taylor.
Yes.
You look like Chris Taylor.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of people say that.
Yeah, you do.
It's the beard. Tyler, are you awake?
Come on, Tyler.
Hey, my name was in that batch of all of us trying to chime in for Chris Taylor.
We all went for it.
Number three. Let's go.
This guy got slapped at the Oscars. Tyler.
Chris Rock.
Nice anticipation.
This guy played Captain America.
Mason.
Tyler.
Mason.
Chris Evans.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
I didn't know that one.
Here we go. This guy is known for his great voice and for lit.
Greg. Chris Morales.
Yes.
It's Bergman 2, me 2, Tyler 1, and Momo yet to score.
Doing a great job.
Slow. This one, she is married to John Legend.
Mason.
Momo.
Mason.
Christy Teigen.
Yes.
Nice.
Tigen. I was almost there.
Teigen.
Same difference.
Teigen. I got it right.
I think it's Teigen.
This guy.
She said
all right, here we go. This guy is a color commentator on NBC.
Mason.
Mason.
Chris Collinsworth.
Yes, Chris Collinsworth.
Mason nice. 4, Bergman 2, Tyler 1, Momo away. Yet to scratch. Yeah.
This guy,
almost.
This guy is known for his Jurassic Park movies.
Mason.
Momo.
Come on. That is Chris Pratt.
Oh, yes, Chris Pratt. There you go.
Five
Momo,
Mace.
This one's made for you.
Okay, thank you.
Today marks the 11th year anniversary of this.
Momo! Chris Paul.
Oh, yes. Oh,
it is the 11th year anniversary. Yeah. Oh, I saw that earlier today, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Jorge.
Thank you.
Here's the last one. We talked about this guy earlier on the show as he's making his fourth film.
Mason.
Mason.
Chris Tucker.
Yes, Chris Tucker.
Hey, oh, wow. Nice. Okay.
Nice. Hey, nice job, Mace.
Thank you. Mace stood up for that.
I rarely win these things.
Pulled away with that one. Nice.
Thank you, Carlo, for your help.
Yeah, thank you very much, Carlo. Nice work.
Point? That's your first point.
My first point for the month.
Look at this.
By the way, if you look at the month, everybody's won once.
Yep.
Did I win? Oh, yeah, I did last week.
Yeah, Momo won one.
Oh, I've
won one. Jorge won one. Bergman won one. Funchess won one. Ireland won one.
Tyler not 1-1.
Tyler.
I guess I got to show up more.
Yet to scratch. Yet to scratch.
Just got to get in the building.
Thank you very much, Tyler. Great seeing you, man.
Thank you.
And Tyler will be on the board tonight as we bring you Rams Raiders.
Raiders.
So
there you go.
Tonight it will be
Everybody needed one of those, right?
Tonight Absolutely. Will be, and a lot of people are saying I'm setting up Raiders. The Raiders for a failure.
That's what I'm saying. You did it on purpose. I know what you were doing.
It's okay.
This is Ben Graham. Mason is making tonight's game a win-win situation for himself. Accept defeat by saying the Rams are going to lose, so he's right if they lose, and saying the Raiders losing is an embarrassment, so he gets to rub it in the Raiders fans' face if the Raiders lose.
I'm doing the same thing.
So let me start by saying this. I don't believe the Rams are going to win this game, and I think it has a chance to be a walkover. If the Raiders lose to this team, then certainly they deserve to be out of a playoff race.
I've gotten to the point into our season where I expect the Raiders to break my heart, to give me just enough hope to care again, and then to stomp on it. So we're probably like 3 games away from that, right, Greg?
Yeah.
They're going to win another game or two, and we're going to be like, oh, they might make the playoffs. Oh, Davante Adams. Oh, here we go.
So it's all going to work out so that you're going to have, they're going to win today. They're going to beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
And then they'll have the game against the Steelers to go to 8-7. They'll kind of put you in the playoff positioning.
Yeah.
And then they'll lose.
Yeah. I just know how it's going to go. We get up at halftime. Oh, it's 17 points. We're going to lose.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the other...
It's been that way this year.
The other thing that's going to happen tonight, and, you know, I mentioned this. So I know everybody in my section at SoFi.
Yeah.
And
your people.
We were there...
Do you have a name for your section?
Till the Arizona game. Yeah, Section 246. That's our nickname.
You could do a little better than that.
You're a very clever human.
Section 246.
Hey, is that how you, like, let's do our cheer?
Us 246ers, look out.
Come on, you gotta work on
2-4-6. We're done.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I do think that it'll be. I hope Baker Mayfield does play.
I hope
we see him. I mean, it'll give us something interesting to watch. I think that, you know, Baker Mayfield has got historically has not played well. Has had moments of greatness, but it hasn't really been a solid NFL quarterback, despite his experience. I think he's auditioning for a job next year. And by the way, I think Cam Akers, I disagree with Matthew Berry. I think Cam Akers is auditioning to be the bell cow running back for the Rams next year.
For the Rams?
Yeah.
Could be for somebody else. But I actually find myself rooting for Baker now.
Do you?
I think he has had enough getting knocked down that, like, I would kind of root for him to get back up now.
Is that because of our Schadenfreude conversation the other day?
No.
Schadenfreude.
I do that around the horn, so we do a lot of Baker Mayfield talk, and every time it's just so negative. And then I listen to Colin Cowherd a lot. He and Baker aren't exactly good. Like, I know why people don't like Baker. I know I listen to Lindsay in there. She's like,
Well, she spurned Cleveland.
Yeah, but there's like real reasons why people don't like him. I get it.
But isn't that part of it? The fact that you're talking about him on Around the Horn all the time and he's not a good quarterback?
That's part of it. And it's because he has all those commercials and they're good. And nobody likes it when people get things that they sort of don't deserve. Right.
Right.
When they get big stages and commercials and money and all that spotlight and then they don't follow through on it and back it up.
And yeah, we also love people who come back. We love revival stories.
I think
he's
had enough getting knocked down that maybe we're ready for the rooting for him to get back up.
Well, and I think it's fair to say I don't think anybody is going to hand their franchise over to Baker Mayfield next year and say, you're our starting quarterback.
Yeah, they didn't even want to do it this year.
But can he be the Rams' backup quarterback to Matthew Stafford next year? Yeah,
hey,
absolutely.
Do you think that there's any possibility, because with the injuries that Matthew Stafford has, he has a spinal cord contusion.
Right. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what that means.
That doesn't sound good to me.
Well, it's a contusion on your spinal cord, even like a bruise on your spinal cord.
Sounds like something you really don't want to mess with.
Right, exactly. It's just anything that says spinal cord, kind of worrisome. He also had two concussions in 2 weeks.
Where is the injury at the spinal cord? Like what level?
I don't know.
We don't know.
That's on the cord. So, but I mean,
like in the neck or the lower the back?
We don't know.
Not sure. But is there a possibility in your mind at all that he's not back next year?
No.
You think he's back 100% no matter what?
Yeah.
Have we asked Clapper about that?
Well, I don't think we want to speculate about somebody else's injury when it's a significant.
No, I've never heard of that one.
I don't think it's significant.
Oh, it is significant. You're talking about career-ending injury. I don't believe anybody has indicated that this is a career-ending injury.
I saw a story about it, but I don't know who it's from, so I'm not going to.
Yeah, the Rams have said nothing approaching that.
Okay, so we're going to stick with that. I'm just asking you, do you think there's a possibility with those types of injuries?
Here's what I think. If the Rams were in the playoff chase this year, I wonder if Matthew Stafford might not be playing right now.
Okay, that's fair.
I think they...
One minute.
It's a good reason to shut... good reason to shut everybody down, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Aaron Donald.
I mean, this is like the definition of load management.
Well, it's not even load management. It's let's get ready for next year. Yeah. I mean, it does feel like a preseason game to me.
Preseason for next year.
Preseason for next year, exactly. Yeah. The preseason has started early. Well, coming up for you, we do have Rams versus Raiders. Travis Rogers, Kirk Morrison have got pregame coming up for you. In the meantime, I want to make sure you know that me and Cappy, I did
30.
Not... It is official. Me and Cappy.
You're at least excited about it. I don't know about Cappy.
Doing tomorrow's show from 1 to 3 live from Black Gold. Make sure you are back here for that because, frankly, absolutely anything can happen. Anything can be said. You don't want to miss it. All right. I'll say it. Go Rams. See you tomorrow at 1. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.